episode 41 of The Rift, May 9th, 2011. My name is Arithian.
And I'm Discus.
So first up, I want to thank everybody for their well wishes for my health last week. In the last couple of weeks, my life's sort of been turned upside down a little bit, and real life and health issues aren't letting me play the game, really. So thank you, everybody, for your well wishes. I really, really appreciate them.
This week, we sit down with Abigail, Elrar, Zan, and Amory to talk about the ins and outs of different playstyles and how the soul system factors in with them.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Typefrag Ventrilo Hosting. Visit typefrag.com and use Rift Podcast as your promo code to get 25% off your first month's purchase.
And don't forget to pop over to Dogcast Systems and check out their fantastic gaming rig lineup if you're interested in upgrading your current system.
So today we have Cindy Abigail Bones with us. Hi, Cindy.
Hello, Ari.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm hopefully getting better soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I don't like being sick. It's not my favorite thing. Now, I wanted to go over something with you that we seem to have some listeners who don't understand how the podcast process works, and that, you know, we've been getting a few little things about us not asking hard questions. I was wondering if you would like to explain that to people.
Sure. I'm happy to talk about that. I think it's something that's really good for us to address from time to time. As a lot of you probably know that have listened for a while, I mean, this podcast has been going on for quite a while, long before launch, long before beta. What episode is this again, Ari?
41. Actually, yeah, 41. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been going on for a while. And the reason that we have really supported this podcast, one, we love working with Ari, and we're so appreciative of all the work that she does for this. A lot of people may not realize how difficult a task this is. It's not just a matter of recording for 20 minutes or anything like that. It's a big, long process. It starts with figuring out if and when we can have guests. You know, we love having this regular weekly podcast because it's a way for us to keep in touch with the community just a little bit outside the forums, outside the written word. It's given us a chance to talk about things that are coming up, to talk about different policies, to talk about plans. We try to address important issues. There have been a number of times when there have been controversies in the community, and we've been able to address them here on the podcast verbally rather than just with the written word, which I think is really helpful sometimes. You can lose things in the written word a lot of times that don't come across in a podcast. So that's why we've really supported this. We try to have devs on at least every other week. Sometimes more, sometimes less. It always depends on the schedule and what's going on around here. There are times when people around here don't have a spare 15 minutes. And you know, I'm not joking about that. People work late into the night. It's sometimes difficult to find people to fit into the podcast. Yeah. But when they can do it, they're always very, very happy to do it. The way the process works is we'll tell Ari who we're having on and what they can talk about. So we might say, okay, this week, you know, Will Cook is coming on to talk about events. He's the head of the event team. So once we let Ari know who's coming on and what they'll be discussing, she sends us a mega list of questions. And she takes all the questions from the community, from the social networks. Sometimes I see a list that comes in with, you know, 30 or 40 questions on it. And then what we do is we go through those questions and I just eliminate the things that we definitely cannot answer at this time. And the reason that we do that is that we don't want 15 minutes of the show to be, oh, sorry, we can't talk about that yet. Oh, sorry, I can't answer that yet. You know, that's a waste of everyone's time, including the listeners. You know, nobody wants to listen to a podcast that has 15 responses saying, sorry, I can't answer that. So we pull out the things that we cannot address at that time, and then I send the list back to her and let her know what we can cover, and then we sit down and do the podcast. I know there are a lot of questions about why we don't answer some specific things, and we have always been really clear and really upfront that at Tryon, it's a policy that we will not publicly discuss or address something until we are 100% sure about the answer and the timing. For example, I know one of the questions that I see coming up a lot, and I've even seen this coming up towards you, Ari, that, you know, why don't you ask about this, is the Guild Bank. You know, what's happening with the Guild Bank? Well, we have stated a couple of times that that's something that we're working on and it's coming, but it's not something that we're going to discuss and go into detail about until it's set in stone. We would love to see that happen in 1.2. It's probably not going to happen in 1.2, so we're not going to say that. If something happens and, it manages to get finished and it's in there, then we'll make an announcement and say, hey, look, we got it in early. But until we know when it's actually going to be there, we're not going to say anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's pretty much the case in most of the issues. Sometimes it's an issue of where, you know, maybe there's just not something more that we can say on a topic. For example, sometimes we'll get asked questions about plans for PvP and plans for endgame and things like that. Those are things that are obviously being discussed and worked on, and changes are being made. Class balance is another area. There's always going to be class balance issues. I mean, I've never seen an MMO where there isn't some class balance discussion. So those kind of things are always going to go on, but we will listen, we will read the feedback, and we're not going to make a response until we have something in stone. And that's usually going to be in patch notes. It's kind of funny watching how patch notes get done around here. Changes get made and they just keep getting made and made and made until it's final. And then we say, okay, this is how it's going to roll out. And then the patch notes go up. We do like to get answers out there and make sure that people know that we are listening. But again, the worst thing that I think a company can do is promise something or allude to something coming and then it not happening.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to avoid. You know, we want to make sure that we give you the latest information, but we're not going to give out anything that we're not sure about.
Yeah. So. And it's not that we don't ask the questions. It's that we can't get the answers on them at that particular point in time.
Exactly. And just so everybody knows, Ari hits us with some questions over and over and over again. You know, there are many, many things that we have to come back every week and say, sorry, we still can't talk about that. And then I'm sure Ari can attest that when it gets to the point where we can talk about it, man, we're out there and talking as soon as we can. That this podcast, it's not something where, you know, Ari is set to grill us and try to get us to slip up and let information slip out too soon. That's not how it works. We have a very good relationship, and it's been a fantastic tool for us to be able to keep in touch with members of our community who enjoy listening to the podcasts.
Yeah, it's not like a current affair where I'm out there to try and, you know, catch the devs in a lie. The purpose of the podcast has always been to get what information we can get, especially, you know, when we didn't have any information. To get whatever information we can get directly from the devs that they are willing to share with the community out to the community. And that's what we try and do. So,
yeah, I compared you to Barbara Walters one time.
Oh, God.
You didn't know who that was. No. Since you're not American. Yes. So for all you Americans out there, you know what I mean when I say Ari is our Barbara Walters.
I will take that as a compliment and move on.
It is.
Okay, now, Cindy, today you've brought the rest of the community team with you. Would you like to just introduce them and tell us a little bit?
Yeah, I wanted to bring the whole team on today and talk a little bit about just playing Rift. I remember reading, I've read a couple of threads in the last couple of weeks asking about how we all play, if the devs play. The devs here all play. You know, you go outside and you hear people standing around debating play styles and all of that sort of thing. And that goes on our own team as well. We all have really different play styles and we all play regularly. So since we've had kind of a busy week around here, everybody's getting ready for the big things coming up next week. So I thought instead of pulling in a dev this week, we could all just come in and talk a little bit about our play styles and how much we're enjoying playing Rift and see how we match up with the community a little bit. So I brought in James Elrar Nichols, Eric Zan Adams, and Amanda Amory Fry. And I'll let each one of them introduce themselves and tell a little bit about what they do on the community team to start with. So, James?
So, yeah, Cindy said, I'm James Elrar Nichols. I'm your assistant community manager doing all things community for Rift. You may see me on the boards. I post all the time under the name Elrar. I'm constantly responding to your feedback, your bug reports, whatever you feel like talking about, you know, maybe even the Cowboys, how they're doing or not doing for that matter. So, you know, with all that, responsible for the day-to-day interactions between the developer team, development team, and the community. I'm taking your feedback, going to the development team, sharing it with them, discussing different opinions, all the data that you provide, and then crafting those responses that you see. A lot of that feedback indirectly shows back up in patch notes and hot fixes. You know, you can see the results of the entire Souls team and Balance team just working on all the changes for 1.2 alone. So there's just an example of what I help to get through from the day-to-day basis.
Hi, I'm Amanda Amory Fry. You guys probably know me most likely as the patch notary. It's kind of my joke title for myself. I'm responsible for taking a lot of the information that the dev team is working on, all their changes they make to their game, hundreds and hundreds of emails worth, and turning those into the patch notes that you guys get to read. You also may have seen me several times posting for maintenances. I'm usually around during maintenances or on calls for when we are doing updates to the game. That's most of what takes up my day.
Excellent. And we have Zan as well.
Hi, I'm Eric Zan Adams, and I'm an assistant community manager, and if you guys know me, it's probably from either Facebook or Twitter. A lot of what James does for the forums, I replicate, again, on our social networks, just because it's such a fast, easy way for us to get real-time information from our players. And then we'll decide, well, is this a CS issue? Is this something that needs to be seen by development or whatever? So a lot of the downtime messaging you see, a lot of the new features that you see on our Facebook page are things that I'm working here. I also do a lot with fan sites, getting fan sites approved, getting information from our development team to them so they have some content to publish, and just a lot of back-end community development, stuff like that.
All of us have worked in community for a little while now, but all of us are longtime MMO players. We've all been around this industry for a little while, but even before being in the industry, we were MMO players. So we have spent time looking for our new MMO home as well, and we've all found that in Rift now. So we're all definitely playing Rift on a continuous, constant basis, daily basis, I would say. Yeah, pretty much. but we have very different play styles. I guess I will start. I'm much more your casual social player. I'm the type of person that, I play pretty much every day. I do a lot of crafting. I do a lot of hanging out with people and talking. I do a lot of dungeons from time to time. It's not something that I have to do all the time. I'm the kind of player that I'll do all the quests in the zone and then say, oh, gee, I still have this dungeon to do. I better get a group and go do it. I do some raiding, but not a whole lot. That's just not my thing. Not a PvP-er at all. I do not play PvP at all. I suck at it. I'm probably an average player with a lot of people. You know, I know a lot of people that play the same way that I do. Very much into the game, but again, not into PvP or raiding so much. I'm much more into hanging out with people, playing the day-to-day things, doing the daily quests, doing the crafting. I love hunting for artifacts. I do a lot of pickup groups, that sort of thing. And that's my play style. So, James, how about you?
Yeah, sure. So I am the type who will do a little bit of everything. Primarily, though, I hate hanging out in cities. If I'm in a city for too long, I get restless and must depart for another adventure. So I'm constantly out there doing quests, checking out new areas, saying, hey, that area's blacked out on my map. What's up there? Sometimes it'll be, you know, an enemy camp and I'll get destroyed, but other times it'll be some cool collectible that I haven't found yet. So, you know, basically I do everything from PvP to dungeons and just running quests all the time, leveling up my characters. You know, I try to mix it up as much as possible and be out on the road whenever I can.
So I guess this is Amanda again, and I would probably say that my play style probably falls into a term that a lot of people around here use, which is a lot of people say casual core. My background is basically hardcore raiding. Back when I didn't have a job that kind of extended after hours at times and was very reliable, you know, 9 to 5, did used to be in the, you know, four to five nights a week raiding, you know, raiding guild style play. Mm-hmm. And kind of as I've gotten older, as my, you know, as my work's kind of taken over more of my time, I definitely consider myself casual core, and it's one of those things where I do things when I log in. I have a goal in my mind for kind of what I want to get done during that play session. I basically view achievements as my checklist, my to-do list of what's next to do in the game. And I get a big kick out of kind of checking things off of that list. I do dungeons. I will gladly do raids. My guild, unfortunately, doesn't quite have enough 50s yet for us to be raiding consistently. But I am at the point where raiding for me is something that I expect to do no more than like two nights a week with a hard cutoff time. It's like, I do have a job. I do need to be in bed. We are not looking to do progression raiding again. And luckily, my guild is also kind of in that same boat at this point. So yeah, I mean, I do, again, a lot of people say, you know, I like to do a bit of everything. And I kind of, I would say I generally do that. Like, but it just depends on the mood that I'm in that evening. And whatever I'm in the mood for that evening, I'll usually focus on pretty hard. Whether it's, you know, spending a few hours artifact hunting, whether it's running from zone to zone for events because I got to check off those boss achievements and people are, you know, event in Iron Pine. I'm like, heck yes, let me teleport over there.
Basically, she's always winning is what she's
saying. I want to be always winning.
Yeah. It's actually pretty funny, though, because my play style was similar to Amanda's when I started as well. So, yeah. You know, I was the hardcore, you know, raid every day to now I'm just much more. I have a ton of stuff I want to get done, and I want to do it all, but I only have so much time to do it in. So.
Yeah, mine's starting to get that way too, which is really bad because I can't get the nice happy medium between hardcore and not. If I play a game, it needs to be 100%, and if I can't give it 100%, I get nitpicky and I get discontent. And so at the moment, with a few things that have come up in my life and my health currently, I can't play the 100% I usually do, and it's really getting to me.
Yep.
So, yeah,
I definitely say, I mean, like weekends especially, it's like it is not uncommon in my house to spend 8 to 12 hours a day on a weekend day playing Rift. It doesn't mean I'm logging in every night after work. You know, sometimes I come home and I'm not going to play. And that's something that I, like I said, falls into what I would call casual core. It's like I don't play every day of the week. But when I do play, especially if I have a lot of free time, I'm playing all day. I'm very serious about it.
Maybe I can use that as like a gradual. I don't know if I can do it, but
it took a while to get there. It did.
We'll see. So, Zan, what about you?
Well, you know, I'm also kind of a casual core player, but on the other extreme of what Amanda is, just like a flip side of the coin, where I will log in. I'm a join the Navy, see the world kind of player, really. I'm a tinkerer. I'm an explorer. I'm a what does this button do kind of guy. So I've got like 14 characters and only two of them are above level 20 and have multiple souls. But just because, you know, like our soul system is so diverse and I read feedback on the forums and I read stuff on Facebook and I see what people are talking about and I'm like, I really want to understand what these guys are talking about. So I'll mess with what they say works really, really well. I'll mess with what they say isn't working at all. And then I'll roll a character just to investigate and then I'll tinker and I'll respec and I'll just do all these different things. I write macros that don't do anything just for the sake of writing them, you know? And so, again, you know, there are times that I do log in and I'm interested in advancing my character on some sort of a linear path, but there are days when it's just a lot of fun just to actually mess with and game the systems and see what's going on like that. So yeah, again, I like to see not only what people are doing, but I also like to try to see what they're not doing and try to understand why they're not doing it, because there's like a certain metagame challenge there for me in seeing if there's a way to make something work that everybody else says is completely inviolable. Yeah, and so that's a great entertainment value for me, and also a full-time family guy too. So it makes it a lot easier for my gameplay to be able to stop and break it up into fragments like that. So I may get to play 12 hours during the week, but it may be spread out over 10 different gaming sessions.
Well, for your playstyle, what you need to do is get your warrior to 50 and go and tank green scale, because everybody says you shouldn't do that. And I did it.
More winning.
It's pretty funny. Like Eric, I try and set myself up with challenges where I take what mechanics the game provides me with, and I go, I'm going to try and break that. And I'll go, I'll find, you know, an epic guy, an elite monster, and just see, can I kill him alone? Can I solo him? Can I kill this pack of 20 dudes somehow using the geography and all of my abilities? We've seen how much we can do with three rogues in a dungeon. Can we three-man bard it? Can we three-man it in general? So, you know, just all those crazy shenanigans you try to do and just make the game a little bit more challenging, a little bit more unique for yourself every time you play.
See, yeah, exactly. And
poor friend, I tell him to come help.
Oh yeah, Sam. I'll try like 20 times on my own. I'll be like, oh man, I was this close. I do all the time with Chris when I'm trying to solo kill him myself.
I'm all like, who else is in Shimmer Sand? Let's kill this. Yeah. Let's go. I actually found something that Eric just said really funny about having like 14 characters. Because for me, one of the things I actually really like about our soul system is that the way I see it is I only need four characters
exactly.
to have the game. So I'm like, now I gotta have four because I can max all of them and I have everything. It's that like collection thing. It's like Pokemon. I gotta have them all.
Yeah, and also, you know, I have my characters also kind of siloed into different specialties. Like, I have one character that is my exploit the terrain, looking for artifacts character. Exploit isn't really the right word to use, but that's my artifact hunter.
Creative use of game mechanics.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'll spend 3 hours on occasion trying to get to that special spot up on the hill that nobody else seems to be able to get to.
Where that shiny is sitting there taunting you?
You are a Bami, right? Do. Because Bamis can get everywhere.
I've got a Bami and I've got a high elf that I do this with too.
Yep.
Bamis can get anywhere. They are awesome. The best.
But and
to
also
play.
Also it's a lot of fun for me just to have a huge portion of my map uncovered.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much variety and so much really great art and so many new experiences for people who are willing to go off the beaten path and look for them.
There's a lot of really cool stuff hidden in various spots around the game. It's
kind of exactly.
That was my favorite thing about the first time I played Rift. I joined the team a little bit later, right before launch, and I was playing around, discovering things, and I'm one of those guys who will just be like, oh, I wonder what's down there, expecting to find really nothing in particular, just like maybe a cool view, some cool artwork, whatever. And instead, there's stuff to do down there. And you're like, oh, my God. It's like electronic crack, basically.
We mentioned just briefly, just in a minute or two ago, the flexibility of the soul system. How do you guys feel that the flexibility of the soul system factors into your playstyle and maybe otherwise impacts it?
I really like the way it works. I mean, I love the fact that I can start out with a character and just pick and choose from the different souls and the different abilities and make that character do the things that I want it to do. I like the feeling that I'm very unique. I like the fact that, you know, if I'm playing my character, nobody else can tell me if I'm doing it right because they don't know exactly how I have it set up, you know? And I really like that feeling. I like that I feel like I'm the expert on my character.
But what about those people who say, but this is the way you should be playing your character?
What the heck?
You know, I think
the long term, that's a narrow-minded approach to take to it. I mean, there's definitely an understandable... If you want to put out the best performance possible for your given role, yeah. So, you know, if you're raiding and you want to be the highest DPS in the raid, then yeah, there's going to be specific soul paths that you're going to have to take in order to reach that goal. That's just because it's math, and math works out that way.
Yeah.
Well, see, I measure it in how much fun am I having actually playing my character.
Yeah. I mean,
because we can come up with the ultimate min-max, and that's great for a lot of people. But again, I'm kind of a bit of an explorer and a tinkerer and a DIYer. So I really spend a lot of time looking for something that's fun to play, not just a stagnant rotation where you're dot nuke or whatever, but actually something that actually really requires the ability to respond to a situation
reactively.
Exactly, and something that's going to give me a lot of choices, which is something our system does really, really great. And actually, part of the reason that I've got these 14 characters is because our soul system was so much fun for me the first two times that I played it that I'm like, oh my God, how much more fun could I have if I tried leveling this way instead? Oh. And I've been seldom disappointed, just because, again, there are so many wonderful choices and so many different ways to make the game your own.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I started playing MMOs with EverQuest, and I was a bard in there, and so I am a super utility. Like, I love utility. Yeah. I will sacrifice DPS until the day I die, so that I have utility and can just do ridiculous things. So with the kind of flexibility that the soul system provides me with, I can just be a master chef of my own domain. You know, I'll just have my build for pure shenanigans. You know, I play on a PvP shard, so, you know, I just have, you know, I'm going to just do whatever I can to, you know, either escape my enemy or, you know, just kind of mess with him a little bit. You know, then I have my, when I'm actually engaging in PvP build, I have, you know, my leveling build, I have my when I'm in a dungeon build, and it's just awesome to just have so much flexibility at my fingertips and be able to do whatever it is that I want to do. And I think that's really the important takeaway with the soul system, is that do what you want to do, and that's the best way to enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. I think the flexibility is the really cool part, and it really comes down to just not only your play style, but, you know, what you want to do with that character. I have two main characters right now, and one of them I call my solo character. That, you know, with her, I solo her a lot, or do pickup groups or little groups within my guild and that sort of thing. But I do tend to solo with her quite a bit. My other character is the one that I play primarily with my husband. So that one is completely different. I mean, everything about that character is about how to be the best group member and and a more supportive type of a character. So, because I never solo her, there's never any need to. I only play her in a group. So I love having that flexibility and those kind of options that I can build a character to suit my needs.
Yeah, I definitely see it. It's like I consider it almost like my bag of tools and my bag of tricks, right? It's like, what tool do I need for the job that I'm trying to do? And I do love that I can have that on the same character. It's like that I have one role on my character that is my primary role for, like, you know, level 50 end game kind of events and dungeons and experts. But while leveling, much like Cindy, I was also often in a duo. And so my spec for my duo leveling experience was just kind of a crazy random combination of both healing and DPS. And it was like, I don't have to get stuck being only healing or only DPS to do this. I can have a weird hybrid. Do enough DPS that I'm not sitting there bored healing once every 10 seconds, but I have enough tools to get us out of a bad situation if needed. And like I said, it's all about, like, it's my tool bag for me. It's like I have my when I'm solo in the world, I need lots of escape routes, I need lots of self-healing to get away from things because I'm also on a PvP shard. I have that spec. I have my duo spec where it's like we're generally doing things that we're going to be overkill for, but we'd like to have some backup support. It's a weird hybrid, but it gets the job done. I may not be the best DPS, but we have options, right? And I always have those options, and that's really nice. And then I have my very specific, went to the specs online and found which one's winning the debate for the best output, and I have that one as my expert spec. And I like that I can have all of that on one character, you know, and I know now we're adding another role slot, which, like, oh, good, there goes another, what, 100 plat? Like, sorry.
The fifth, you know, but role I can... slot is What's awesome. That? The fifth yes, role slot is, like, my savior. I mean, I currently run with about 4 tanking specs, depending. Mm-hmm. So that leaves my PvP spec and my PvP spec and my DPS spec nowhere, because I have 4 tanking specs. Especially if you're going into a zone to, you know you're specifically going to get, you know, this and this fight out of the way that night. So, you know, I was doing a lot of respeccing, and I think with some of the changes that they're making in the warrior trees, at least now I'm probably going to be able to settle down with maybe 2 or 3 tanking roles. I know, right?
My goodness.
But then I can have my PvP role, and yes, I have been PvPing. Please, thank you very much. But I can have my PvP role, and I can have my DPS role, and I can have my 3 tanking roles, and I'll be poor, but that's okay.
Exactly.
See, I think that's really cool, though, is that, you know, this game just shows its flexibility, where if you want to play a tank, you can. And not only can you play a tank, but you can play a tank in a variety of different ways.
Very specific.
Yeah, so it's just like, not only does it, you know, it's not that everyone's homogenized, it's that you can be what you want to be, and then specialize into that even further through the way the soul trees are.
Well, I have arguments there for the warriors because we have four tanking trees that we can play around with, whereas the Riftstalker can kind of just do everything with one. But we don't need to go into that right now.
Yeah, obviously, balance will be an ongoing discussion, and we'll probably have many podcasts in the future surrounding all those decisions. Yeah. So. Definitely. It's just it's the concept really we're talking.
It's good. It's good. I know for my personal playstyle, like I said, at the moment, I'm having a few issues with having gaming time and actually being able to look at a computer screen for any length of time without being ill. So that hampers my playstyle right now.
Yeah,
just a little bit. But the fifth roll, I think, made me the happiest person I was ever going to be. For a very long time.
We aim to please.
Thank you very much.
Now, with all of the flexibility and being able to switch out souls and everything, I have heard a little bit of a controversy brewing about that in the community and have experienced a little bit of it myself. I joined a group a little while back, and just to kind of put this all into perspective, I was playing a mage at the time.
Was this before mages didn't suck?
I'm not going to address that. not part of the story.
It's very
important. I had my mage all built out the way I wanted her, and like I said, that's the build that I use a lot for soloing, and I've been really picky about how I have built this particular character. So anyway, I joined a pickup group, and someone told me I needed to switch to Chloromancer and do the healing. And my response at that point was I had not collected that soul yet and didn't know how to play it and hadn't done any healing yet. And half of the group that I was with totally bitched me out and said, that I was just horrible because I didn't have that soul and that should be required and I should be ready to switch to that at any moment. That was the whole point of the game, that I should be ready to switch over to be a healer at any time. The other half of the group said, well, no, that's not the point of the game. The point of the game is to build your character the way you want it. And, if you want a healer, go advertise for a healer. So I've seen that come up on the forums a few times about, should people be ready to jump into any role at any time? Or is it acceptable to just build out your character the way you want it and play it the way you want it? So what do you guys think about that?
Well, I think it's acceptable to build your character any way you want and play it the way you want, but you have to realize that a lot of other people are going to expect everybody else to have as good a handle on their, multitude of souls as maybe they do. And so when they're looking for a DPS, if you've got the possibility that you can be a DPS and a backup healer, they're probably going to expect you to have at least one role that fulfills that. And if you don't, they're probably going to want to replace you. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's valid if they don't want that. But if I don't want to play a healer, I don't want to play a healer.
See, yeah. So that's actually something that I would say almost slightly opposite, where again, it goes back to the whole, get the right tools for the job. And if you are going into a situation where you think you're going to need additional healing for part of this task, you need to advertise that you are looking for someone with that role and not assume that everyone has that role. I mean, that's part of due diligence of forming the group. Mm-hmm. And if someone says, no, they don't have that role, then maybe someone else in the group does. It's like, make sure you fill out those requirements first and then fill in the rest of the group so that you know that you're covered on healing without having to force someone who may even have that spec but still hates healing to have to do that.
Yeah, I know a lot of the times when, before the big change of 1.1 mages, where mages really were the crappiest DPS you could possibly have, at least if you had good DPS from the other classes, unless, they really sucked. And the chloro healing was just phenomenal.
Right.
And the reason you took a mage anywhere was for the chloro backup healing.
Right.
That's why a mage got into a group, and I remember that we had advertised. I actually did one pug. I did one pug. I'm not a pug person. I don't do pugs. I did one pug, and we had a mage who was supposed to be going chloro. Like we had said, we need a mage for backup healing, and we were doing okay. We had a little cleric who was doing his little cleric thing, and then I realized that one of the rogues was actually barding it, and this person who was supposed to be our backup healer, our Chloro, was actually just nuking, and he was doing, like, no DPS. I swear he was doing, like, 200 DPS in a 50 expert dungeon. And right. we, you know, and we managed to limp along until the last boss, and it was just, like... And we were like, look, can you swap to Chloro? And he's like, no, I refuse to play Chloro. And we're like, well, we need backup heal, like we said when we invited you to the group, you know?
Right. That just sounds like an individual who didn't advertise,
And that's the thing, really, right? I mean, it's if you need backup healing, advertise you need backup healing. And if you're going to go into a group where they may expect you to backup heal during certain encounters, you just have to understand that that might be something you're going to have to do. As long as everyone has that basic understanding, then, you know, that's something that everyone could agree upon. I don't think it should be, though, that people should feel forced into having to have specific roles simply because it's expected of them. Because, you know, this is a game. Everyone's playing this to enjoy.
I have to say, though, not now where the mages are now viable, where their DPS is freaking awesome and their backup healing is also awesome. They have more than one option. Whereas, seriously, for the first 4 weeks of the game... You didn't want a mage if he wasn't going Chloro.
That's why continued balance is important, so that we can ensure that the intended roles for all of these archetypes continue to be supported and that they are usable. Because that's an important thing to us, is that if you're supposed to be able to be a capable DPS, then we want you to be capable DPS. So that's the thing, is that, obviously... gameplay mechanics are things we're going to have to constantly work on and make sure everyone stays in line to how we want them to be able to perform.
Yeah. So part of that, I guess for my view on this personally, comes back to that whole, and I'm going to use air quotes, casual core guild type of thing, where because we do have a guild that is interested in doing things like experts, that is interested in doing things like zone events, we do have some members who have all of their roles, who have multiple, and they are willing at any given moment to swap over. Mm-hmm. And we absolutely have some people who are, maybe further on the casual spectrum, where they only have one that they really enjoy playing. And one of the benefits is that, well, we can kind of organize within ourselves, saying that, like, so-and-so is bringing their rogue DPS tonight. They really, really don't want to heal. So let's make sure that someone else in the group is willing to have a healer role and go for it. I mean, I personally often play the healer role and I enjoy it. And there are some nights where someone's like, I want to practice healing. And I'm like, heck yes, I will swap to my DPS spec and do portable DPS because I never do it in experts. But part of us doing this is that it may take us 3 or 4 tries to work out getting to the boss, but it's not really worth getting upset over when you're kind of using off roles and trying to learn what you're doing. It's kind of part of it.
It is a funny point, though, because, I'm playing... In Rift, I'm the support guy. In other games, I'm generally DPS. But oftentimes, I find myself having to play the role of healer because I'm just too good at it. So people go, "Hey, we need a healer," and I go, "All right, fine, I'll do it." Because sometimes the experience of playing it with my friends is overwhelmingly better than having to heal them. So sometimes it's just. And it's not my first thing that I want to do, but I'll do it because overall, I have a great time doing it. So
I do want to chime in and stick up for healers briefly, because everyone's been calling out healing as the role that everyone hates to do. I do love healing, and I've done healing at a raid level for years. So I expect to be asked to heal, usually in a group. Doesn't mean I won't go if I'm not going to be the healer. I just am looking at the wrong spot on the screen, because I'm used to looking at health bars.
Yeah.
And now I'm supposed to be up in melee range on the mob doing something, and I'm at the wrong spots, and I'm not moving. So I am not always good on my off rolls.
And again,
that's what I call my MMO multiple personality disorder.
Yeah.
When you go from one character to the other, and all of a sudden you're playing your melee character trying to cast a spell. wrong person.
One of the challenges that I run into with the flexibility of our soul system is that if you're level 50 and you're off to pick up another role and with completely new souls and everything, there's a bit of a learning curve involved, and there's going to be a temporal investment there. And I actually have two characters with healing specific roles. And I have a great time playing them for the first time in any MMO. But if somebody asks me to do something that I'm not educated on or that I'm not comfortable on or something like that, then usually I'll just demur and say, sorry guys, I'd love to go along, but this isn't going to be fun. It's not going to be fun for you. It's not going to be, you know, they're not going to have their expectations met most of the time, especially if it is a pickup group. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think there's a lot more freedom if you are playing in a small group of friends. I mean, it's like the only time I would ever consider tanking for a group would be with a group of friends who've all had a couple of beers late night, because it's going to be a train wreck. But I would give it a shot because it will probably be really, really funny. Yeah. So I would be willing to do that, but only with friends. I would never, ever respond to a looking for group when they're looking for a tank. I'm just not going to do it because it's not something I'm comfortable doing, quote unquote, in public.
Okay, well, as much as I know that I would like to debate different play styles and soul choices and, you know, what's expected of people in groups, etc., for the rest of the day, because I could, trust me. I know we're starting to run short on time, so I wanted to ask everybody if they have, like, anything else they'd just like to add?
I just want to say that we do all play the game here at the studio. Everybody does. We play, we talk about it. But I also want to remind people that we play anonymously all the time. It's company policy that no one is allowed to go into the game and identify themselves as a Tryon team member. So just remember that you are playing alongside of us all of the time. We're in there on a daily basis. We're playing right there with you. We're hearing your comments. We're hearing chat. We're grouping with you. We may be in your guild.
And you will never know it. Listening to our whinging.
I've already seen a number of forum posters talking in game who, you know, I read your posts and I read your chat in, you know, the Meridian chat or Sanctum. Yep. So, yeah, we are out there. We are everywhere.
Oh, no.
And thank you for allowing me to reach my, you know, quota for today as well.
I would like to thank you all very much for lending me some of your time this week. Thank you very much, Zan. Thank you very much, Amory and Elra. And thank you very much, Cindy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Ari. You do a wonderful job, and we appreciate all of the hard work you put into these podcasts every week.
Well, thank you, guys, and I will talk to you soon.
So sadly, I wish I could have made it to the interview, but I'm currently one of the only people at my school that is still taking finals.
Lucky you. Are they good? How are you going with them?
Oh, I'm so behind. I actually went to work on a project yesterday, and my flash drive decided it was going to get rid of the project I already worked on.
Oh, I had to
do it all over again.
That does not sound like fun. Well, I had fun with the interview. I wish you had been there, because you do have a different play style to pretty much everybody who is there. But yeah, I actually thought it was kind of fun, and I've got to try and see if I can get myself into playing like Amory does, because at the moment I can't do the just a little bit play.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I need to work on my OCD-ness so that I can maybe juggle my real life, my health, and the game right now. So that would be really good.
Maybe just a little.
It gives me something to look up to that they can actually manage those varied play styles.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a little more informal, and it's kind of in light of how heavy it's going to be once 1.2 hits, we thought we'd have a good time this time. So,
yep.
And now for the weekly update.
Monday, April 25th, once again, 1010 Hammer has overviewed another couple classes, the Pyromancer and the Necromancer.
On Tuesday, April 26th, try and release the first of currently 4 additional updates to the Public Test Realm 1.2 patch note. If you haven't seen them yet, check out the sticky threads in the Public Test Shard forums.
Wednesday, April 27th, Ink Gamers sat down with Hal Hanlon to discuss Update 1.2. Check out some of the Q&As. Zam also sat down with Tryon to discuss Update 1.2 with Scott Hartzman. Another great read and a good overview if you haven't heard of what's coming up for the update May 10th.
On Tuesday, May 3rd, 1010 Hammer released an overview of the Warlock Soul and an overview of the Chloromancer. I love the Chloromancer. It's an awesome class.
I'm a fan of the Necromancer personally.
I know you are.
It's like full build almost on me. I love him so much. Her, rather. My girl character's like her.
I guessed that.
Yeah. Wednesday, May 4th, Rift Junkies is back with another exclusive interview, this time with Behringer Fish. Check out what Rift's senior designer has to say about the Greenscale raid and how Rift has matured since release.
And on Friday, May 6th, back again with their Lure of the Plains series. This week, 1010 Hammer features the Earth Rifts and Water Rifts in Talara. I love Water Rifts. They look so awesome. Scott Hartzman came out again to chat about customer service feedback and RP server character names. There is some interesting information in the article, including an email to send feedback about GM interactions.
Well, it's about that time again. Don't forget to visit us at riftpodcast.com. We'll have all the links mentioned up in our blog post. Please remember, we do receive all of the suggestions and questions and do our best to get them answered where possible.
Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If there is something you would like to contribute or to share with us, you can contact us via riftpodcast@gmail.com, in comments on the site or through the Contact Us feature. Don't forget to check our site for promo codes for Doghouse Systems and Typefragment and Trello. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. This is Erythian.
And this is Discus. And we'll talk to you next week.